Now, the next topic here is the Turkish mode at the Saxon court. From the 16th to the 19th centuries, there was a lot of mimicking, if you will, imitating, sort of celebrating the Turkish culture, right? That was associated with the Ottoman Empire. And this took various kinds of things. There were, for example, mock battles. You had the local soldiers dressed in Turkish costumes, that kind of thing. There was also people set up drinking tea and coffee, you know, in chambers that were adorned with Turkish fabrics and cushions and Turkish style coffee services or tea services, things like that. So there was a lot, but in particular, I'm going to be talking about something that went on in 1719. Leipzig, where Bach was from 1723, and where his coffee cantata, which we're going to talk about, was composed, was in the electorate of Saxony. So the elector of Saxony was one of the most powerful rulers in Europe, and they were called electors because they were the people that elected the Holy Roman Emperor. So the elector of Saxony at this point from 1694 was Friedrich August, actually the first, who then a few years later paid off the Polish nobility so they would elect him King of Poland, for which he also had to convert from Lutheranism, which is, you know, Saxony is Lutheran territory. And so that was a shocking thing for him to have done, but he felt that, you know, the Kingdom of Poland was worth a mass, to paraphrase Henry IV. And so he did that. But in 1695 and 96, August had led some armies in Hungary against the Ottoman Turks. And in the course of this activity, he saw the Janissaries. He apparently was not very good as a military leader, but nonetheless, he decided to call himself conqueror of the Turks. And so he used every means he could to sort of impress that upon everybody that might have seen him. So, for example, in 1697, for a big outdoor kind of carnival festivity kind of thing, he has himself dressed up as the Sultan. And he has, you know, accompanying him all these pseudo-Turks. These are Saxons, all right, members of the palace guard or the army or something, dress all in their Turkish costumes, and they would march down the street, and all the populace would see them, and so that's the way he could cement his reputation as this great conqueror of the Turks. Now, the next thing on your thing is 1701, August the 2nd takes a Turkish mistress. Her Christian name was Maria Aurora of Spiegel, but she was born Fatima or Fatma. She claimed to have been, in fact, the wife of a mullah. She was captured in the battle in Hungary by a Swedish officer who brought her back home as basically as booty, as a kind of captured slave. But she became very close to his wife, and whose name was Maria Aurora, and they taught Fatima French, Western protocol and etiquette, and so on. She was baptized, and so on. And she was obviously treated quite well. Now, it happens that her mistress then runs off to Poland, where she becomes the mistress of August the Strong. Now, I should point out that there, in the history books, you can read an awful lot of untruths about August the Strong's love life, like that he had like 300 illegitimate children and, you know, dozens and dozens of mistresses and all that. He had about a dozen, which is not bad for a ruler of that period, you know, in any country. Certainly he didn't have anything like hundreds of illegitimate children. He did have a couple by her, however. Anyway, Maria Aurora became August's mistress, and then he dumped her for this one, for Fatima, for the other Maria Aurora. And apparently they had a very good relationship, partly because I guess she, having been raised originally in the harem, she could, she had an understanding for his predilections. And and he apparently kept coming back to her. And when he died, he provided for her in her will. So this is a very interesting connection, you know, between this sort of this Turkish-born woman and Saxony. There were another big symbol of the Turkish fashion in Dresden, which was the capital of the court of August the Strong in Saxony, was he built this, what they call a Lusthaus, pleasure house, big palace, for another of his mistresses, the Countess Kozel, but he had it redecorated a little later in the Turkish style. There were crescents on the top, decorating the top of the roof on the facade. There were rooms that had well over 100 life-size paintings of people in Turkish garb. Most of them probably were Westerners, but probably also some Turks. And the interior decoration also was very much Turkish in flavor. So you see this Turkish mode really was something very, very serious and important. And of course, we're talking about the time of Bach now. Bach was born in 1685. And by the way, now it is the Taschenberg Hotel, which is the most expensive hotel in Dresden. It's right along the Elbe River. If you ever go there, go just walk inside. You won't be able to afford it, but you can certainly walk in the lounge and through the rooms. Okay, now that brings us to the issue of, one more. 1719, this is actually very important. 1719, very important event. It was the wedding of the prince-elector, the successor of August the Strong, his son, whose name was also Friedrich August, but the second rather than the first, and he became, he also converted secretly to Catholicism, and so he could be king of Poland, and he was August the Third of Poland. And he became king and elector in 1733, that's the year of August the Strong's death, and I might add it is to this letter, this younger, the prince elector, or the new elector, that Bach dedicated the Kyrie and Gloria of what we call the B minor Mass in 1733 with the request that he be named court composer. It's a very famous story, has nothing to do with Turks, but I just would try to explain who these people are. So anyway, this prince gets married to a Habsburg princess, the daughter of the Holy Roman Emperor in Vienna. So obviously Daddy, August the Strong, is trying to cement the relationship between Saxony and Vienna, which is the imperial throne, and with that also comes connections to Rome and the whole Catholic world and so on. And they were actually married in Vienna, but then they came on ships up the Elbe and arrived in Dresden, where there was set up a Muslim-style, army style, very fancy tent, for them to rest a little bit before they went on to the city, and then the procession into the city involved, among other things, lots and lots of people dressed up in Turkish garb. Mm-hmm. And this became kind of a theme of the weeks-long celebration of this marriage. One of the things that was a very famous banquet, which is documented, and this is just part of the picture because it's too big, you wouldn't get any detail at all. But if you look carefully, you can certainly see the Turkish style hats. Mm-hmm. You can see also the women along the wall. These were probably taken from the Countess Kozel's palace, although she was, I think, gone from the scene by this time. actually, what happened is he locked her up in a castle for the rest of her life because apparently she had eyes for somebody else. But anyway, those life-size paintings I was referring to that were originally in her pleasure palace were taken out and put on the walls of this palace that they built in the gardens of the Saxon palace area. And here again, you can see that the people seated at table are in Western garb, but you can see that the servers are in in Muslim or Turkish garb, and I think, although I mean it's not very good, I think on the top left there are the musicians, which are also dressed in Turkish garb. And these would be, you know, people like, we might find like Kwanz or Heineken, so the musicians here know these names. They were members of the court orchestra. Bouffardin, the flutist, I think was there at that time. Probably the guitar and lute composer, performer, Weiss, who was paid more than anybody else, so he must have been absolutely fabulous. And so on. So these are important people that were participating in this. Bach was probably not there, but he did go to other important celebrations at the court on other occasions. Are we going out of time? Okay. The